And I love you, Gus, my sweet, my darling honey pie. I know that was hard for you. I respect the determination it took to do that. I'm sure everyone in our marriage knows what that cost you. I respect you so much, my strong-willed man, my husband. You're so amazing. I don't think I could have done what you did.
Feeling embarrassed at being talked to in such a way in front of everyone, Gus couldn't help but go quiet.
I love you,
he said finally, to which Melody made a squeaking noise, stole the phone, and ran away with it.
I'm going to do so much to you when I see you. I'm going to start with my tongue,
Melody promised, the sound of voices yelling at her as she fled the room, fading behind her. Quite a few sounded like they were trying to tell her to come back.
I'm going to lick you from tip to bottom and back again, and maybe further.
Gus couldn't help himself and found he was grinning, listening to all the things Melody wanted to do to him.
I love you, Mel,
Gus said again, interrupting her.
I really do.
I know, it's amazing,
Melody said in a squeal. A door opened and slammed shut, the sound of voices being cut off completely now.
I love you too, husband of mine. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, put my tongue up your...
Opening the door to Jill's home, Gus let himself in. Once she'd gotten control of herself after her sudden and unexpected transformation, she'd fled home. While she hadn't vacated his mind or ejected him from her own, he'd sensed that she was doing her best to hide her thoughts, while also hiding from his thoughts as well. However, she was still clearly aware of him and had made sure her front door was unlocked. Just as he was aware of her and that she had done such a thing. Closing the door, he entered her living room. He knew, of course, where she was. Sitting on her sofa, she was snuggled up in a blanket watching TV.
Hi, Gus,
Jill said in a subdued voice. Walking around the back of the couch, he sat down on it and glanced over at her. The horns and wings were gone, though she was prettier since the last time he'd looked at her. Truly looked at her. Quite a bit prettier, in fact. Bordering on truly beautiful now. Her features were the same in general, but anything that hindered her previously was gone. From small differences in her skin tone to her cheekbones becoming just a bit sharper.
I know, right?
Jill asked with a chuckle.
My boobs got bigger, too. And let's not even talk about my butt. I've been trying to avoid seeing you in person because of how ridiculous this is.
Pulling the blanket up tighter to her chin, Jill hadn't looked away from the TV.
Sorry. It's a lot harder to not hear your thoughts when you're so close,
mumbled Jill.
And yeah, I tried to break the connection already. I couldn't. No matter how hard I tried, couldn't get out of your head. Or couldn't get you out of mine.
Nodding his head, Gus looked at the TV. He'd tried as well. Sam had been incorrect. What he'd done to Jill didn't seem to be temporary. The only thing the incubus could chalk it up to was someone with angelic ancestry had bound themselves to someone with demonic ancestry.
The wings and horns only come out when I want them to, at least,
Jill said and changed the channel.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't it?
asked Jill. Then she chuckled, her voice taking on a sultry tone.
Though, I hunger for your sex instead of your magic now. Oh, I ache for it. More specifically, sex with you.
That's not as good.
Jill sniffed at that, turning her face toward him and raising an eyebrow.
Not because I'm not attracted, but because I'm married,
Gus clarified. Several memories flitted through Jill's mind. Memories of talking to Melody for hours over the span of the last 2 days. of Melody trying to desperately butter Jill up and get her to throw herself at Gus.
Oh,
mumbled Gus, seeing that Melody was being Melody.
Is it time to go?
She asked, looking back to the TV.
Yeah, gonna head out in 30 minutes or so into the plant. Gonna park myself on that door and wait for the alarm to go off.
Trish going?
No, her magic doesn't lend itself to getting through security as easily. It's more obvious.
Since her near-death experience, Trish had spent the last two nights cuddling him to death with sex and fear-feeding him. She'd also planted a tree atop Haley's grave as some type of peace offering to the Ware after she found out what had happened.
You want me to go with you?
I do. It's nice to have a partner who can go where I go, do what I do,
Gus admitted. Even Melody couldn't really keep up with him, even at her best. She was a contractor and had a very different skill set than he did.
And we both know you've been raiding my mind for all my training, my experience. You're probably already quite dangerous without ever having done any of it.
Didn't mean to,
mumbled Jill.
I just was scared. Scared of others, scared of people. When I went out, so many men hit on me. I just wanted to feel safe. And you make me feel safe. Not to mention you have so much combat experience, and I can do what you do just by taking your memories and abilities for my own.
Exactly. So, come with me,
Gus asked.
Yeah, I'll go with you. But you're taking me out of the city when we're done,
Jill stated.
I know. I already booked us tickets.
Good. Then, let's get going.
Standing up, Jill let the blanket fall away. She was dressed in a very similar way to how Gus did when he went out in his boogeyman form. Jill had slightly understated that she'd changed, however. Considering how little he'd seen of her since they rescued Trish, it was a bit of a shock to him. Jill had gone from an attractive woman to someone who had won the genetic lottery, and then some. Her figure looked like it had been built to order following his personal tastes and preferences.
Oh, ridiculous, right? I can't change it either,
grumbled Jill. Then she sighed and put a hand on her hip, looking at him.
At least you like it. I'm glad you approve. Now,
Jill's face tightened up for a second. Then her wings burst out from her back and settled down against her. She held her hands out and flexed them for a moment, her fingernails growing dark and sliding out into the shape of claws, much like his own, in fact.
Shall we go? I'm ready. I believe I'll keep up easily,
she said, giving him a smile.
And I set up your first appointment with me. Day after we get back, 2 o'clock, Mel is putting an office together for me.
With a wince, Gus stood up.
Oh, stop. It'll be fine. In fact, I imagine you'll be my easiest patient yet,
Jill said with a grin.
You can't lie to me. And I'm very glad you like how I turned out. I wasn't sure,
Jill added inside of his mind, which brought back his thoughts about how she looked. There was an unspoken thought in Jill's mind, something that was trying to be said, but that she was wrestling back down by sheer will alone. It finally burst out as a thought rather than a statement, smashing through her self-control.
We'll have to find out who's easier, you as a patient or me as your succubus.
Which was immediately followed by her blushing darkly and hating this sudden change in her demeanor and mindset. Chapter 24. Just Love It. Walking through the front door of the plant, Jill and Gus made their way into the glass booth entry room. Following someone into the elevator lobby, they ended up waiting there for a short period. They took that time to set up a series of portal spell points, small flexible cards that, when activated by Sam, would become portals, allowing Ink Suck and the judge's forces to storm straight into the plant from this point. Soon enough, they were back in front of the door that had denied them previously. Once more, Gus wouldn't be able to open the door without alerting people to his presence.
Huh, that was incredibly easy,
Jill said, turning to look at him. Her wings stretched out slightly and then settled down again on her back.
For you, for me, did you notice all the spells we just walked through as if they weren't even there?
No, they were there?
Jill asked, looking back the way they had come.
Of course, but as a boogeyman or an impubus, I suppose, we don't trigger them. Magic doesn't really have that much of an effect on us.
Huh. What about bullets, swords, or anything normal?
Can very much ruin our day.
How interesting. Neat, even,
Jill murmured.
Can you show me one?
Maybe. I can see him because I'm a boogeyman.
Well, I'm your impubus, so I'm sure I can see it,
Jill stated confidently. Turning partially to one side, Gus pointed at the large, angry red spider web in the corner of the hall.
This right here is motion and proximity. We should have set it off the first time we came here, both of us. Neither of us did. This is why I was so confident you could make it here with me. You'd already walked through several of these with me when we backtracked through security together.
Jill looked up at the corner, stared hard at it, as if she was willing it to appear.
Oh, it looks like a spider web. I do see it. Why is it red?
She asked suddenly. Then she turned and looked back the way they came.
Why is that one blue?
Surprised and once more unnerved by Jill, Gus thought about how to answer.
Portals are going live. Get ready,
Seraphina warned over the earpiece. Jill had her own now that was paired with Gus's. She could also hear everything he did from Seraphina. Moving over to his side, Jill gave him a wild smile and put her shoulder to the door. Pulling out the semi-automatic pistol she had holstered across her chest, she held it close to her body and readied herself. He didn't miss it when she did a quick check on her weapon, thumbed the safety off, and held it comfortably.
Never thought I'd be like a commando,
she said.
I'll take first position and go left down the hall.
You know, neither did I when I was growing up. And that's fine, if you're sure you can pull the trigger on someone.
Sure I can. This isn't a big city, you know. I've had to kill my fair share of farm animals. Before my step-parents worked at the company here in the city, we worked a very small location out in the middle of nowhere,
Jill mused.
They had me kill my pet hog when I was 8. Then we ate him for the holidays. Best ham I've ever had.
All right, then. You're first and left. I'm second and right down the hall.
Unable to help himself, Gus put his left hand on Jill's shoulder and waited with a grin, his right hand holding on to Indali.
Though, if I don't do as well with killing someone as I think I will, who do I go to for therapy?
Jill asked, with an underlying thought behind it. He didn't need to guess what she wanted to suggest as therapy. It was obvious as her mind filled in the blanks with visual images.
Cock me,
begged his weapon. Rolling his eyes at suddenly being surrounded by perverts, he reached up with his thumb and pulled her hammer back as slowly as he could. He knew she'd like that.
I feel like I'm two different people anymore,
Jill mumbled, clearly forcing her thoughts to a more sedate pace.
I want sex. Sex with you so bad. It's like the ache I felt before you gave me your magic. But worse. All I can think about is sex, sex, sex. I want it. I want it so bad.
You could always...
Sex with you. Sex with you. No one else.
Jill added, already knowing where his suggestion was going.
Yeah, well...
The door they were standing in front of clacked open at the same time a klaxon began sounding. Jill was on the move faster than Gus expected, heading straight into the area beyond the door. Her weapon raised and trained on the left side of the hallway, she moved in a slight crouch, giving Gus the opportunity to keep his weapon above her without impeding his line of sight. Catching up with a quick step forward, Gus stayed glued to her rear end and walked step for step with her, in dolly aimed at the right side of the hall. Reaching the end, they turned the corner and found two doors, one that was listed exit and the other that had no sign or label. Jill went for the second one, opened the door, and went in. Gus was a single step behind her, following her in. Jill fired three times, her pistol traveling left to right. Gus ended up pointing in dolly at the back of the room. With nothing there, he swept left, pulling the trigger only once when her sights landed on a man wearing a security uniform. Gus didn't hesitate as the man was already drawing a pistol from its holster. Moving his weapon further left, Gus saw two other guards, both dead. Jill had dropped the first with a headshot and the second with two rounds to the chest.
I did it. I killed him,
she said out loud. Her statement was followed by her stumbling to one side and then throwing up violently into the corner. Looking around the room quickly, Gus saw it was indeed a security office. They were the only ones there. The room was secure. Pulling open in dolly at the breakpoint, he fished out the spent casing and popped in another one as he turned around. Closing in dolly back up, he was ready. Leaving Jill there to continue heaving up her guts, Gus ran back to the door. People were already heading his way, looking to escape. Smiling grimly, Gus slammed the door shut. It wouldn't stay shut if someone came and sneezed on it. It wasn't meant to be closed or locked in an emergency, after all. But for the moment, it'd have to do. Pulling out another portal device, Gus slapped it against the wall next to him. This one had been set aside specifically for this purpose. Almost instantly, the device became a portal, and someone in extremely heavy combat gear stepped out. They were wearing a helmet and enough armored Kevlar that Gus doubted they could move very fast. However, if all they had to do was guard a door, that'd work quite well.
Move, please,
requested the tall soldier in a muffled voice, the heavy machine gun in their arms being set down on the ground. Moving out of the way, Gus had to step over several ammo cans that had been transferred in when he wasn't paying attention. A second person stepped out of the portal and joined the first. This one was in much lighter armor, but still wore a substantial face-covering helmet. This one got down behind the machine gun and prepped the weapon. The first soldier reached into the portal and pulled through a battle rifle, and then casually stood above the one with the machine gun.
Exit secure,
said the first soldier, who then pulled the door open. A group of men and women were staring into the hall. They immediately turned and fled as soon as they saw the two soldiers and the weapon emplacement. Snorting, the first soldier laughed.
Whatever,
they said. Gus got the impression it was a woman, but he couldn't be sure. Turning away, since they clearly had it under control, Gus went back to the security room. Jill was sitting in one of the chairs and was working at her getting her cell phone plugged in. The sooner they had Sarah into the system, the better. Moving past the security room, Gus kept going. He needed to make sure the portal room was secure. Lifting in dolly up, he started down the hall, moving toward the only direction left available.
Oh, hello again,
said a chipper voice coming up behind him.
It's so good to see you, Gus.
Glancing over his shoulder for a brief moment, he saw it was Sam's wife, the succubus named Jess. She was probably the single most attractive woman he'd met in his entire existence. He recognized her by her eyes, which were nearly purple, her brown hair pulled back in a braid, and her simply overflowing figure. She had a rifle in her arms and was holding it as if she knew how to use it.
Hey, Jess,
Gus muttered, still moving ahead. He had a job to do.
I hear you have a new wife, an imp succubus. Very interested in meeting her. Can't wait to talk to her,
Jess said, taking up the spot on Gus's left.
Moving ahead, taking right. You're on left.
Pausing a beat as Jess moved in front of him, her rifle swinging up and aiming down the hall, Gus felt odd. He hadn't expected Jess to join them, or that she would actually know what to do. Entering an open room, Jess brought her rifle around and then swept right to left as Gus did the same from left to right. Throughout the room were standing portals, six of them.
Element lead, portal room secure. I have six,
Jess said to what Gus assumed was Sam or someone else. There was a response he didn't hear.
Understood,
Jess said. Reaching to her belt with her left hand, she pulled something out and then flicked it to the side. It slapped onto a wall, and a portal opened up right there.
Back to the security room we go.
People began swarming out of the portal Jess had put up. Wearing heavy armor, sporting rifles and SMGs, they looked like a special operations team. Each one had an identical, odd little pink and blue demonic face on their shoulder.
Huh, not hiding themselves at all.
Hustling back to the security room, Gus walked in as Jill was rapidly flipping through camera views. Glancing his way, she gave him a wide-eyed look, then her eyes flicked to the side before she went back to the monitors.
I think that's all of them,
Jill said.
Great, got it all,
Serafina confirmed over Jill's cell line.
I can take it from here.
Sighing, Jill leaned back in her chair and put her hands to her face. He could tell she was doing her best to process the fact that she'd killed two people. Given her situation and what she'd gone through so far, she was already doing better than Gus ever had. Walking over, he grabbed two of the corpses and started hauling them into the corner, further away from Jill.
Looks like there's a garrison somewhere else,
Jill said, watching the screen. There seemed to be quite a few people swarming toward the plant from outside.
Definitely,
Serafina agreed.
Patching us into the Inksuck comm system.
There was a hard clack from the security display, then sound began filtering in from it.
Moving to engage,
came a clear and feminine voice.
Could use some oversight.
Free to engage any valid target,
came a very firm female voice. The camera switched again and the view of the parking lot shifted. A real, honest-to-God mech, like something out of a sci-fi movie, was stomping across the lot toward the front of the plant. It had a cannon in one arm and a glowing shield in the other. Turning its torso as it walked, it began firing balls of what looked like superheated plasma as casually as one would throw a baseball. Any target it hit was incinerated.
Is that the Fist of the Legion?
Asked what sounded like Kit.
Huh? How did you know that?
The voice of what Gus assumed was the pilot was interrupted by another.
Flechette round selected,
cried a very happy voice over the pilot's microphone.
It is the Fist. And that was Andy,
Lily added.
It's the Fist.
Voice recognition active. Lily, Kit, recognize. Yay, team! Go, go, go!
Shouted the very chipper voice.
Can't talk now! Fighting!
Said the pilot, who promptly cut the line. Laughing in an almost comical way, Lily's voice cut through everything.
Is this really happening? It really is,
she said, still laughing.
Everything is... It's coming together. That was Andy's voice.
The originator is an interesting person. Sometimes things work out in the weirdest ways with him,
said Miles over the line. The mech continued to fire on the approaching enemies for several more seconds before the camera swapped again.
Hi, I'm Jess, said the succubus, walking up to Jill. You look like someone I know.
Looking at Jess, Jill raised her eyebrows.
I'm sorry?
She asked.
You look like a friend of mine. Her name's Amy,
Jess explained, staring at Jill. Pulling out his phone from his pocket, Gus turned away partially from what was going on and dialed up his parents. Ever since the incident with Haley, he'd been calling his parents regularly. With Vanessa there, he was feeling a lot better about the situation. Picking up on the second ring, Gus felt his heart unclench.
Yes, Gus, we're fine,
his mother said in an almost bored tone.
Though I'm kicking ass right now in Scrabble. Call you back.
Hanging up before he could even respond, his mom ended the call. Grinning, Gus didn't care. Everything was fine. Putting his phone back in his pocket, he looked at Jill and Jess.
See? You look just like her. I'm gonna call her,
Jess said, holding up her phone in front of Jill.
I'm not really sure this is the time or...
Amy, hi, hey. This is awkward, I'm sure, but, did you have a daughter before Anna?
Jess asked, turning to look at Gus. She gave him a heart-melting smile and waved her free hand at him, her rifle hanging on its strap at her side.
You did? Blonde? Green eyes?
Jill was staring at Jess now, almost blankly. Gus, however, could hear her thoughts. They were running around in a circle, screaming about the possibility of learning more about her family.
You named a what? Jillian?
Jess asked, turning to look at Jill again. Then she pulled her phone down, tapped something on the screen, and held it up in front of Jill.
You two look way too much alike. How old are you?
Mom?
Jill asked, a strange and bizarre recognition in her face. The face from her memories floated up in a vague image that was rapidly replaced with a very clear look at a beautiful woman.
I
said a voice on the other end of the phone.
Jillian?
Snatching the phone from Jess's hand, Jill stared into it as if it were the answer to the secret of the universe.
Well, shit. Things are just working out.
Tilting his head a bit, Gus snuck a look at the phone. A woman who looked like a near mirror image of Jill was on the screen.
Shit. Really does look like a...
Standing there, Gus didn't have much to do. His part in this was mostly over. They just needed to wait for the roundup. Chapter 25. Dangerous. Sitting at a large table, Gus felt a little out of place here, like he shouldn't be here at all, or that maybe Melody should have been here without him. Around the table were Melody, Kit, Lily, Sam, Miles, the judge of the underworld in full raiment, Romulus, the founder of Rome, and an archangel in the service of the originator. Gus was just an XPID agent who happened to be a boogeyman. He belonged here about as much as an untrained dog did at a cat show.
I'd love to tell you we have a wealth of information,
Miles said after everyone had sat down and turned toward him.
But we just don't.
Really?
Melody asked, sounding confused.
But that was... It was such a big base, and there was so much there. Sam's report said they secured something like 50,000 people throughout the complex.
50,000? I had no idea.
They were all on other floors,
Jill said with a mental dismissal.
Quite a few of those elevators just went to floor after floor after floor of soldiers. They could be rather crude and really didn't have much in the way of manners.
Mostly cambion and male imps with little to no awareness of what was going on. We just locked them down on their floors and then knocked them out with gas, collected everyone afterward.
Sam said, and then sighed.
I'm doing what I can for them, but given how they were raised, the pressures put on them, and honestly, what was done to their minds, I might have to put them on their own plane, let them rule themselves. There's no way they can return to any civilized society.
Their own plane?
Asked the judge. The voice was feminine, but they were wearing what Gus could only describe as their uniform. Their face was covered in a shapeless black hood, their body draped in a simple black cloth that hung from their shoulders down to their feet. He had brushed his mind over hers briefly, just to see if he could sense anything, except all he came back with was eons of age, millennia spent watching over the dead. An infinite expanse of time that yawned before him and threatened to swallow his consciousness whole.
I was thinking of putting them on Jessie's. She doesn't use it for anything, and she doesn't care for it,
Sam said with a shrug of his shoulders.
That, and it would give her something passive to feed on.
What about all those VIPs we made sure to capture?
Growled the very large werewolf.
They certainly had information, did they not?
About that location? Yes, Miles admitted. About anywhere else? No. They were completely isolated and had nothing to do with anyone else. All contact was made by visitors who provided information, orders, and anything else. We still haven't actually found where everything is based out of.
There was a general feeling of disappointment around the table.
However, we did more or less end their ability to launch a military attack. All those soldiers Sam was just talking about,
Miles said, leaning forward at the table.
They were each worth at least 10 or 20 human soldiers. That is a massive amount of firepower we just removed from the table. That's not something we should forget or look past. It's a great success, even if we didn't outright win. And let's not even talk about our own losses.
Did we lose anyone? Asked the Archangel, their glowing features turning toward Miles. They had blonde hair, bright blue eyes, white wings, and were dressed in white robes. It was like something out of a terrible science fiction movie.
I took some losses,
Sam admitted with a shrug of his shoulders.
Somewhat cold of him.
They should be back to normal by today,
finished Sam.
Jess and Asta are working to restore them right now. Takes a bit, considering there's only 2 of them and I'm not helping at the moment. I can assist them once we're done here.
Never mind. I shouldn't be here. This is way beyond me.
If you shouldn't be here, they wouldn't have invited you,
argued Indali over his earpiece.
They're adults who know their business.
Agreed,
Serafina said through the same earpiece. He'd taken to wearing it everywhere anymore. Serafina had encouraged him to do it as well. Apparently, she viewed being at his disposal at all times for tech support as her personal goal. Indali and Serafina were always on a shared line with him now. The two women also worked out of a shared, small office in their home, something they'd set up after the location they'd been investigating had turned out to be an abandoned complex.
Do we do next, then?
Lily asked, looking around the room.
Our goal is to pave the way for my husband to arrive, and according to Alex, once he's laid out a landing point, the originator will be right behind him.
Our goal remains unchanged, obviously,
Miles said with a smirk.
We keep flattening everything we can, so my nephew and my son can arrive with the least amount of issues. We took a massive bite out of their military ability, but that doesn't mean those are their only assets. I can't even begin to imagine how many locations just like this one exist elsewhere, even in other countries. It isn't as if the Silent One is restricted only to North America.
Sam sighed and nodded his head while Romulus grunted.
It's true,
said the werewolf.
I have no doubt there are little rat warrens at home in Roma. My people are doing what they can, but we are not organized for such a thing.
My forces are going through every plane they can, the judge added. There is a great amount of distance and space to cover, however.
Taking in a breath and then letting it out in a rush, Melody laughed suddenly.
I mean, those are all good things to do, she said, leaning back in her chair. But at the same time, maybe we should figure out a landing point and build it up. We can keep trying to knock out enemy forces, and we should, but we can't really assume that we'll get them all. That's silly. We should be working to put together a drop point.
Everyone nodded at that.
Why not the facility we just cleared?
Gus ventured. Everyone turned to look at him.
Empty the city above and leave it dormant, as if the whole thing had been abandoned. Take over the complex below. Sam can put in more portals and close out the old ones. Change the security to cover what we did to it, then close out any access from the outside world at all. Make it look like a ruined and compromised location. Felix and the other forces of the Originator can land, in country, I guess, and have a chance to prep and figure out what to do. That, or just do the same thing on a different plane.
There was a collective nod of heads at that.
As soon as Felix puts a foot on the ground, the Silent One will know what's happened,
said Miles.
He'll attack with all forces available to him. Using the underground bunker would definitely give us time to set up and prepare for it. Really get our defenses together. Even daisy-chain some things together with portals.
Definitely. We should be able to get it all put together. I can have some people go through it and start to clean it,
offered Sam.
Though I'd appreciate it if that little spirit of knowledge of yours could double-check my people's work.
Sam had turned to address Melody and Gus with that.
I'll ask her,
Melody said with a smile.
I don't think she'll mind.
I don't,
Seraphina said. Gus didn't relay that. He'd rather they talked it out privately before offering anything.
Gustavus, said the judge, getting his attention. How do we deal with your kind? Couldn't a boogeyman slip through just as easily as you did?
Staring at the judge, Gus realized they were right. Extremely so.
Dogs always cause me problems,
Gus said.
Or anything physically preventative.
Physically preventative?
Miles repeated, his brows drawing together.
If I had to go through a single-person airlock where there's only room for one person, I'd have a problem. I'd have to break into someone's mind to make it happen,
explained Gus.
And I'm fairly certain.
Looking around the room, he realized that these were all people he needed to trust.
Being a psyker is definitely something I don't believe anyone else in my race is. That's my father's gift. He's a mutant,
Gus said with a shrug of his shoulders.
A psychic boogeyman Nephilim, muttered the angel. Your essence feels like barren.
Barren?
Gus asked, both confused and interested.
An archangel of great renown, Miles offered. He perished a while ago. He served with retribution in the Originator's domain.
I liked Baron,
Sam said, leaning back in his chair.
I even shared a meal with him several times. His family was very kind, exactly what you would expect from an Ark.
Turning his head toward Gus, Sam stared hard at him.
If you really are a descendant of Baron, that would definitely explain why the family line through your mother is as unique as it is,
Sam admitted.
Though, it's rather depressing that they were turned to the Silent One's use.
Anyway,
Miles said, derailing the conversation,
things that limit entrance through physical means, dogs and things like that. Actually, Romulus, does Gus smell different to you?
Did he just ask the founder of Rome to be a dog?
The werewolf gave Miles a flat stare.
Really?
Asked the man in a growl.
Yes, if you don't mind. Using a werewolf would be preferable to dogs,
Miles said, pushing straight ahead. Romulus made a huffing noise and turned his eyes toward Gus. With a deep inhalation, he paused, then shook his head.
Human,
Romulus murmured.
One moment,
Gus said, holding up a finger, relaxing his control over his human facade, because that's what it felt like anymore. Gus dropped into his boogeyman self. There was a shifting of chairs, startled looks, and a rapid upswelling of sudden fear. Fear of the Silent One showing up, of losing their loved ones, never seeing their children again, that the Nephilim amongst them was about to go on a rampage. There was only one person without fear at all. Melody was gazing at him with a loving smile.
How about now?
Gus asked.
Definitely. Definitely not normal,
Romulus said, his voice coming out as a partial growl.
It's subtle. I wouldn't notice it without you being so close. It's like I'm on a hunt, but rather than smelling prey, it smells akin to someone looking at me as if I'm their prey.
There we go, werewolves, Miles said with a nod of his head. And that gives us our security measure.
Gus shrugged his shoulders, putting his elbow on the arm of his chair and chin in his hand. He was enjoying the fear of everyone in the room. Coming from such powerful people, it was very potent.
Allow me to demonstrate what you can expect if one were to get inside,
Gus said, and then waited several seconds for a few nodded heads. Dipping into his horror magic, Gus fed them back their own fears, fed them the idea that perhaps this was all a ruse. At the same time, he pulled out his retractable pen from his stack of papers, feeding them the fear that this was, indeed, all a trap, that Gus had never worked for them, that his family worked for the Silent One, had done so all along, that this was a long-set and long-planned maneuver to get all these people here in this room, to get all of them together so that they could be eliminated easily. With only a single button press, the room would be vaporized by a bomb, a weaponized portal that would tear everything apart, just like the one Kit and Lily had created by accident. Now that everyone was here, off guard and just ripe for the picking, it was time for Gus to act, to lull them into a sense of safety, then execute them all with just a pen click. The room was drowning in a dark cloud of fear. People's minds were racing, eyes widening, fingers bracing to the table. Holding up the pen in his hand, Gus waited for a second, savoring the delicious, overwhelming panic and fear everyone was putting out. Then he clicked the pen and let his magic drop away. The judge, the archangel, and Romulus were all halfway out of their seats, the latter with his clawed hand outstretched toward Gus's. As soon as the fear had been ripped free, everyone's minds had returned to their own. Clicking his pen twice more, Gus smiled and looked around the room.
A good lesson to learn, I imagine?
Gus asked, deliberately clicking the pen once more.
I might be stronger than others of my kind, however, and my mother is even stronger than I am.
I will.
Romulus let his arm drop back down to his side and shook his head.
I will make sure my people know what to expect.
I love you!
Shouted Melody with a laugh.
That got me all hot and bothered watching you make some of the strongest people in the universe scared. Can the meeting be over?
Miles closed his eyes, then put his hands up to his head like he wanted to cover his ears.
Yes, please, because I really don't want to hear any more of that from you, grumbled the man.
Walking through Sam's compound, Gus was looking for a place he could get an actual signal. There were portals placed here and there so that certain locations could reach his home plane, but they weren't that common. Walking past a large doorway, he paused briefly. Looking inside, he saw what looked like a cafeteria in full operation. Sitting not far away was Jill, whose eyes had already locked onto him. She had one hand up and was waving him over. Sitting across from her was an amazingly beautiful woman, who Gus recognized as Amy, Jill's birth mother. Apparently, Amy had been part of a breeding program, along with her husband, that produced Jill. She had been their firstborn. Due to complications, Amy had been allowed to stay with Jill much longer than most mothers in that situation had been. It was one of the few reasons Jill had any memories of her at all. Grimacing for a moment, he could practically feel Jill begging him from inside his own mind, throwing perverted promises at him, while also pleading with him from a purely normal standpoint. She was desperate for him to actually meet her mother. Putting his phone back in his pocket, Gus walked over to where the two attractive women were both watching him.
Mother, this is Gustavus Hellstrom. Gus? This is my mother, Amy,
Jill said by way of introduction.
Gus bound me as his imp.
Amy's eyes moved over him from top to bottom, then gave him a warm smile.
I was wondering. He puts off the same feeling of magic that you do, dear,
Amy said.
Please sit with us, Gus. We're just catching up. Her younger sister is on her way to join us as well, though it's a pity your father is currently on a mission for Sam right now. I know he'd love to be here. He was devastated when you were taken from us.
Chewing at the inside of his cheek, Gus decided to accept. Taking a seat next to Jill, who promptly put her hand on his knee in a possessive way, Gus looked at Amy.
"So, you really are her mom?"
he asked, jumping straight in. Laughing, Amy's eyes widened, and then she nodded her head once.
"I am indeed. I know, I don't look it at all, do I?"
Amy asked, lifting one shoulder. Gus couldn't deny she looked almost the same age as Jill, not like a mother at all.
"I asked Sam to check for me, just to be sure. We used one of Melody's contacts. Jill really is my daughter,"
Amy said, reaching across the table and taking Jill's hand in her own.
"Which means, I owe you, Gus. I'm not sure we could have found her amongst all those council people. That means we also need to check every single person we encounter going forward from the council. We might have other family reunions just waiting to happen."
"A sister, huh?"
Gus said, looking at Jill with a grin. He knew for a fact she was beyond excited at having actual blood family. Her adoptive family had never been that supportive of her. They'd treated her well enough, but never as family.
"Yes, her name's Anna,"
Jill said as her fingers dug into Gus's knee.
"Anna, I feel like I know an Anna, don't I?"
"And speaking of her, there she is," Amy said.
Turning his gaze toward where Amy was looking, Gus found he did indeed know this Anna. It was Alex's wife. As he remembered her, she was very mature-looking, not to mention incredibly well put together, looking closer to 21 than a teenager. She had long brown curls that tumbled over her shoulders. Her clear brown eyes had a look Gus had seen often enough. They were the eyes of someone who didn't value anyone or anything. Considering how lovely Amy and Jill were, it made sense that Anna was related to these two.
"Uncle Gus,"
Anna said, giving him a warm smile.
"It's good to see you. Mother and Alex said you were responsible for giving me back my older sister."
Without waiting, Anna walked over to Jill and pulled the other woman's face into her well-endowed chest. Laying her cheek on Jill's head, Anna held on to her and began to rock back and forth.
"Oh, I always wanted a sibling, but Mother wouldn't even consider it,"
Anna murmured.
"It's, kinda weird, but I think she'd cook and eat someone if Alex told her to."
Releasing Jill, Anna took a step back and looked into her older sister's face.
"Oh, and you're so beautiful, Jill. Uncle Gus is a lucky man, though it'll be weird for you to be my aunt-in-law and my older sister at the same time,"
Anna said in a strange tone, as if it were interesting, but also didn't really matter. Jill asked.
She's married to Alex, Mel's nephew,"
Gus explained while Anna began to idly play with Jill's hair.
"Mel's family keeps getting stranger and stranger."
Chapter 26. Like Moving Away. Prying himself loose from Jill, Gus finally managed to find a spot where he could call home. Dialing the number for his parents, he waited. They didn't pick up, which wasn't that much of a surprise. They were rather occupied as of late with Vanessa and keeping themselves busy. Huffing softly, Gus tapped into his contacts and dialed up Vanessa. She always picked up for him. The line began to ring. When he got to the fourth ring, he realized she wasn't going to pick up, only for the line to suddenly click.
Sorry.
Vanessa said a bit breathlessly into the line. Then she laughed.
"I was doing a circuit real quick around the perimeter. I had all the greenery trimmed back and brought down. Everything is pretty visible now without any places to hide."
Laughing, Gus leaned up against the wall in front of the portal. As he suspected, the best signal was right in front of the portal back to Larimer.
"Thanks. I appreciate that,"
Gus said honestly. He couldn't quite express in words how thankful he was to Vanessa for more or less taking up bodyguard duty.
Of course. Besides, your parents are pretty fun. Definitely can see where you got your personality from. You're a lot like your dad in everyday things, but your mom when pushed, Vanessa said. Good thing I think both sides of you are great, my darling Indigo.
Uh-huh. My dad would tell you I'm more like my mom and vice versa,
Gus said and rolled his eyes.
That's only because they both support each other so much. Neither one of them wants you to think you're anything less than their partner, said Vanessa laughingly. Honestly, I've never seen a couple so in love. Though your dad definitely knows your mom isn't aging, by the way. He just doesn't want to think about it. Pretty sure he's thinking he might drag your mom along if he isn't careful.
Sounds about right for him. He's the one who...
The sound of a rapid set of gunshots ripped through the phone. It was followed by a yell and then a scream. Clattering as if it had been dropped, the phone remained active. Heavy gunshots sounded out, followed by more gunfire that was further away.
Ness!
Shouted Gus.
Hey! You there? Indali, I'm going. Can you roll anything? Get anything there quickly?
Gus, I already notified the PID and the police,
Serafina said before Indali could respond. Not waiting, Gus simply leaped through the portal. He needed to get to his parents' house as fast as possible. Standing on the other side, he looked one way, then the other. He had no idea where he actually was in the city or even how to get anywhere.
Gus!
Shouted a voice from behind him. Turning, he looked over his shoulder. Heading his way was Jill. Her wings shot out from behind her and started to flutter and flap before she'd reached him.
Hold on,
Gus muttered as Jill got closer to him.
Whoa!
Jill latched onto him, bent low, and launched herself up into the sky. Pumping her wings powerfully, they quickly cleared the cityscape and went much higher than he expected.
Which way do I go?
Jill shouted as the wind whipped by them. Squinting his eyes, looking every which way, Gus was finally able to orient himself. He saw the state capitol building. Holding up his arm, he pointed in the right direction. Jill's mind, however, pounced on his. It dug through his recognition of the location, the expected distance, his parents' house location, and how long it might take. Then she was off in a dive, rushing them through the air in a way that made Gus's stomach drop out of his rear end. The wind pulled at him, tearing at his hair and clothes. Holding tighter to Jill, Gus did his best to pretend he wasn't feeling a lot like a spiked football. He swore he could hear Serafina talking to him, Indali as well, though with her thoughts. Unfortunately, he couldn't pay much attention to anything. He was too busy clinging to Jill like a love-struck teenager. Jill flapped, glided, and dove her way toward his parents' house.
There it is!
Jill shouted in almost no time at all. Whipping his head around, Gus looked into the wind itself. He could see his parents' house. There were two vans in front of it, and a lot of people laid out on the ground. Unmoving people. People all wearing dark clothes and body armor, all carrying very obvious military hardware, with red pools spreading out around them. He didn't see Vanessa anywhere.
I don't know how to land!
Jill shrieked in a strange statement that sounded like a question. Gus could see that there were people heading around the back of his parents' house, dressed in similar clothes to the very clearly dead people out in front of the house.
Jill, I swear to fuck, I'll do whatever you want if you can get me atop those bastards in the backyard!
Gus yelled at the top of his lungs. Jill didn't say anything, but he could feel her putting on the speed. She wasn't slowing down at all. She was speeding up. There must have been a noise coming off Jill's wings as she tore through the air because the kill team all looked toward them as they dove. In a blink, they were in the backyard, though still airborne. However, they were only a few feet off the ground now. Flaring her wings, Jill stuck her legs out in front of herself and careened full on into one of the people. With a crack of bones, Jill and Gus barreled through the man and bounced across the grass until they slammed into the fence that surrounded the yard. Even as he landed in the turf, Gus had drawn Indali and was targeting the closest enemy. With a squeeze of the trigger, Indali jumped to the next target, then again and again and again. By the time he got to the end of the line, he had one bullet left and had been shot twice. Both hit him in the shoulder.
Ow, fuck,
Jill groaned, rolling over to one side. Gus didn't have to look at her to know her legs were very broken.
Your hair tastes like apples,
groaned Jill in an almost incoherent voice. She flopped onto her back and laid there. Her wings were pitched out on each side of her. Scrambling to his feet, Gus popped into Ollie's ejector and rammed a speed loader into her cylinder. He didn't have time to figure out which round hadn't been fired. Stumbling forward, he flicked in Dolly, closing her back up with a solid clack. Opening the door, he went straight into his parents' house. Spread out around the living room and kitchen were a lot of men in armor with rifles. At the foot of the stairs, Gus finally found Vanessa. Her eyes were blankly staring up at the ceiling above. A spent rifle lay next to her, and several empty shell casings were scattered around her. This had been where Vanessa had made her last stand and died. She had been wearing her body armor, but a copious amount of blood had poured down the front of it. Whatever ammunition they'd been using had punched right through it and her. He moved over to her and got down on one knee, pressing his fingers to her throat. There was no pulse at all. He knew that it hadn't been long since he'd last heard from her, but it had been long enough for her to put down what looked like three full squads of kill teams. That much blood leaving her body that swiftly had ended her life quickly, he imagined. There wouldn't have been much time to consider what was happening, let alone feel it.
Nice,
Gus said in a soft whisper, his fingers still pressed to her throat, hoping to find anything there at all. No response came.
Damn it, Ness! Damn it!
Growled Gus in a voice full of indignation and rage. Stumbling up the stairs, he left Vanessa. There wasn't anything he could do for her, and he still hadn't located his parents. Reaching the second floor, he found more dead men. These, however, had no heads. It was as if their brains had exploded from the inside out.
Mom! Dad!
Gus called out, moving toward their bedroom.
Gus!
Called his mom.
Oh, thank heavens.
Moving to the bedroom, he found his mother and father. The former was standing at the edge of the bed. The latter was lying in it, covered in blood.
Son!
Gus's father said in a croak, his eyes catching sight of him. He gave him a tired smile as blood trickled down from the corner of his mouth. Holstering in Dolly, Gus rushed over to his side.
Dad, hey, people are on their way, okay? Just hang on,
he said. Reaching up, he pressed his hand to a very obvious gunshot wound in his father's chest.
Gus, I love you,
said his father with a rasp in his voice.
I love you, son. I'm proud of you.
Struggling to take a breath, Wilhelm shuddered.
Don't blame yourself. You're doing good. Doing good things. A good man. I love you.
Wilhelm got out between panted breaths. Then he turned his head toward his wife.
I love you, Jen. Love you. I love you so much. Don't get too lost. You have to watch over our children and their eventual children.
Well, no, honey, please, people are coming. Didn't you hear Gus?
Said Jennifer, gripping her husband's hand with a great deal of strength. Tears were rolling down her face in waves. There was also a lot of blood splattered across her. Grinning, Wilhelm let out a single chuff of a laugh, then lifted his left hand up and rested it against Jennifer's brow.
This is all I took from them. Don't get too deep, my beloved. You have to come back.
Wilhelm croaked out. Gus had the impression of a single blast of extreme psychic energy, one so large that it made him wince mentally.
love you both. Tell Paris I love her. I liked Stuart.
Wilhelm said in a tone that lost energy as he spoke. Slowly, his eyes closed. His hand slipped away from Jennifer and landed on his own lap. With a single shuddering last breath, Wilhelm Hellstrom passed away.
The PID, the local PD, and the Fed were all redirected elsewhere,
Serafina said in his ear.
All of them. Sam and his people are coming to get you, your parents, Ness, and everything they can out. Everyone else's family is also being evacuated, right now.
Well,
Jennifer said, still clutching her husband's hand.
No, Will. Will, you can't. No. You're not supposed to die yet. You were supposed to remark about how beautiful your wife was when you turned 90. And I joked that it was just you being silly. You can't.
Jennifer choked on her own words, staring down at the man she'd spent Gus's entire life with.
Wilhelm,
squeaked Jennifer. Closing his eyes, Gus felt his heart break. In the span of 30 minutes, he had lost a woman he loved and the man who had raised him. Feeling his shoulders slump, Gus could only stare at his father's unmoving hand.
He stepped in front of me,
whimpered Gus's mother.
He tore them all apart so fast. It was so terrifying. I've never seen him do anything like it. But one was stronger than the others and was able to shoot. He shot at me. Will stepped in front of it. He didn't even think about it.
Jennifer sniffled, a low, deep moan escaping her lips. Reaching up with her right hand, she lightly caressed his cheek.
It was the council, she growled. And I know where they came from. I'm going to kill them. All of them.
In a flash, his mother's human form no longer existed. The dark boogeyman that she truly was had taken its place. The false skin of humanity that she'd worn for so long was gone.
Kill all of them. Then I'll come home and tend to what he asked of me,
his mother said in a rumble.
My will. My love.
Long-fingered talons passed over Wilhelm's face without even depressing the skin.
Who never feared me, just loved me, and accepted me as I was,
whispered Jennifer. Then she was gone. One second she stood there grieving for her husband, and the next she had vanished, leaving Gus alone to pick up the pieces. Reaching up with his left hand, he pressed it to his temples.
I need to go get Ness. I can't leave her there,
grumbled Gus.
Dad wouldn't mind if I put her on the bed next to him.
I had your sister picked up, along with her boyfriend,
Sam murmured, standing not far away from Gus.
As far as we can tell, that was the only attack so far. But given the complete blackout from the locals, the PID, and the Fed, it's obvious more was meant to happen.
They didn't expect Ness to kick their assholes in,
Gus muttered. He felt numb, empty, like he was pushing everything down too hard and too roughly. And if he wasn't careful, he'd end up at the bottom of a bottle, just like last time.
Yes, that would be my guess,
Sam said, and then shook his head.
I asked Eugenia, the judge, that is, to go see if she can't get your father and Ness taken care of quickly. Get them pulled over and settled.
Frowning, Gus turned and looked at Sam.
Pulled over and settled?
Gus repeated.
Yes, into the afterlife. The good one, to be precise,
Sam added.
I don't think for even a second that your father or Ness will have an issue. And even if they did, well, I know the temporary judge, and I'm sleeping with the old judge.
Sam laughed at that, then grinned.
Always my favorite way of getting what I want.